If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. As we bring 1 year to a close, we look forward to a new year. And often we begin a new year by making resolutions, the dreaded R word. Get in shape, take up a hobby, correct bad habits, go back to school, etc., etc., etc. While these can have some value, I wouldn't say they don't. The problem is that we often break these resolutions even before all the stale Christmas cookies have been eaten. Isn't that right? So instead of talking to you today as we look toward the new year about resolutions, I'd like to focus our time today on choices. Choices. As a matter of fact, the title of my message today is Choices for the New Year. Choices for the New Year. One thing we all have in common is that we have choices to make every day. Some are rather inconsequential, like what type of toothpaste you use. Or is that an important one? I don't know. It's important that you use it, whatever kind you use. But it's relatively what kind is inconsequential, what you choose to eat on a particular day, what TV shows you watch. Other types of choices are made less often, but have more far-reaching implications. Who we marry, how we make a living, where will we live, etc. But the type of choices I want to talk about today fall right in between those inconsequential ones and those major life-altering ones. I want to talk about the type of choices that we make every day, which may not seem that significant, but taken together, they form patterns for our lives and have a cumulative effect. Often we arrive at a certain point in life and look back to see that things haven't turned out the way we had planned. Well, sometimes that can be due to things beyond our control, such as sickness, tragedy, or the actions of others. Much of the time, our current situation results from the series of everyday choices we have made throughout our lives. Taken together, these choices affect the big picture of our lives. We should also note this morning, this is important for us to grasp, that our choices aren't always between the bad and the good in life. Often, they are choices between the good and the better. We understand that today? Walt Disney was ruthless in cutting anything that got in the way of a story's pacing. Ward Kimball, one of the animators for the movie Snow White, recalls working 240 days, okay, that's about two-thirds of a year, on a four-and-a-half-minute sequence in which the dwarves made soup for Snow White and almost destroyed the kitchen in the process. You remember seeing that scene? No, you don't, because it wasn't in the movie. Disney thought it was funny, but he decided the scene stopped the flow of the picture, so out it went to the cutting room floor. This illustrates for us that even good choices in life sometimes need to be set aside in favor of the better choices that we can make. Now, what I'm not going to do this morning is tell you the specific choices you should make in life. I am not knowledgeable enough about your situation, nor arrogant enough to think I'm capable of that. As a matter of fact, I have enough of a challenge making choices for myself. But I am going to share with you three principles from Philippians 3 in the form of a series of contrasts between seemingly good choices and choices that are ultimately better than good. Think of these principles I'm about to share as filters through which to pass the choices that you make. These principles, as I said, come here from Philippians chapter 3. Paul shares here how these all-important decisions, these decision-making principles play out in his own life. And let's look at them together. I want to begin reading here with verse number 4 of Philippians 3. If anyone thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul here lists a series of accomplishments. He says, if anyone has reason to boast for what they've accomplished in life, he said, I put myself at the top of the list. Paul expresses his religious bona fides, if you will. He said he was circumcised on the eighth day, which was very important in his culture. Of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, he describes himself as a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, he was a Pharisee. As for zeal, he followed the code of righteousness as he understood it. Paul, in terms of his culture, was extremely accomplished. He was successful. He was right where he was supposed to be. But then he says, whatever was to my profit in verse 7, I consider loss for the sake of Christ. He says he considers his accomplishments as rubbish. We know what rubbish is, don't we? It's the trash that we dispose of. How many had tons of trash on Wednesday morning? I know we did. Tons of wrapping paper. Thank God the trash man came that day for us. We dispose of our trash. Think about this. Paul says that his greatest accomplishments in life, that which in his flesh he could be most proud of, he considers as rubbish to be discarded. In comparison to knowing Christ, in comparison to having the righteousness that comes from Christ, in comparison to knowing Christ so completely that he shares in the fellowship of his sufferings. That's an interesting phrase, the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul had as a goal to share in the sufferings of Christ because he wanted to know Christ so fully. I think that's a great, Paul's expressed ambition here is a great example for you and for me. Yes, human accomplishments are worthwhile in a sense, worthwhile to a degree. But Paul says, rather than make it my life's goal to pursue human accomplishment, to see how successful I can be in a fleshly, earthly sense, he says, I rather choose to focus on deepening my relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to know Christ better. If you put a comparison in front of me on a human accomplishment, on rising to the top of my ladder of success, or knowing Christ more fully, I'm going to choose knowing Christ every time. Paul understood that there is an emptiness. No matter how successful we are in an earthly sense, there is an emptiness to human accomplishment without having a deep and strong relationship with Jesus Christ. Successful people have expressed that. A number of years ago, Madonna said this. She said, "My drive in life is from this horrible fear of being mediocre. That's always been pushing me, because even though I've become somebody, I still have to prove that I'm somebody." Capital letters. "My struggle has never ended, and it probably never will." Tennis star Chris Evert said this. She said, "I had no idea who I was or what I could be away from tennis." Recalling the final years of her career, she said, "I was depressed and afraid because so much of my life had been defined by me being a tennis champion. I was completely lost. Winning made me feel like I was somebody. It made me feel pretty. It was like being hooked on a drug. I needed the wins, the applause, in order to have an identity." And that is the story of person after person who seemingly reached the pinnacle of success in their chosen field, yet did so without the fulfillment and the meaning of life that only Christ can bring. Is that you today? Are you successful as man counts success? But is there a longing inside? Is there something missing? If you have a relationship with Christ, is it a surface relationship? Is he an acquaintance, or is he the lover of your soul? Is he someone that you express loyalty to in a verbal sense, but he's not the true center of your life? He's not the focus of everything you do? As 2019 approaches, I implore you to evaluate your priorities, to consider the necessity of choosing to do all you can in every way possible to deepen and strengthen your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, even if that means sacrificing some worldly success. You say, "Pastor Tim, how do we do that? How do we strengthen our relationship with Christ?" I want to suggest to you three ways. Number one, this is nothing you haven't heard before, but you can't get around it. Number one, to deepen your relationship with Christ, spend time alone with God. Spend time alone with God. Read His Word. Talk to Him. Pray. Be silent and listen for Him to whisper something into your spirit for 2019 and beyond. Say, "Pastor Tim, we've heard that so many times before." Yes, we've heard it, but do we do it? Do we live it? Do we spend time alone with God? Do we spend time in His presence? You see, we keep looking for something new, something flashy, some kind of silver bullet that's just gonna, man, make our spiritual lives just supercharged. There is no silver bullet except to spend time in the presence of the Lord. We sang about His presence today. Let me ask you, church, are those just words in a song? Are they just noble-sounding sentiments? Or is it the heartbeat of our lives? Spend time alone with God in reading His Word in prayer. Andrew Bonar, who was a great man of prayer, had three rules. The first was not to speak to any man before speaking to Jesus each day. Number two, not to do anything with his hands until he had been on his knees. And number three, not to read the papers. We could update that to social media and everything else that occupies our attention. Not to read the papers until he had read his Bible. I think those are still pretty good principles today. Second thing we can do to strengthen our relationship with Christ is to fellowship with other believers. As we're here today, I've said this many, many times, I just love the sound. Sometimes we can hardly get you settled to order to start the service, but that's okay. Chat will wait, right? Because you're fellowshipping with one another. You're so glad to see each other. But, you know, our fellowship should extend beyond these four walls. We should be immersed in each other's lives as brothers and sisters in Christ, whether it's church or small groups or ministry teams. Fellowship with other believers provides insight and support and accountability. You don't build a relationship with somebody just looking at the back of their head in a pew on Sunday morning, do you? Fellowship. Be in the habit of fellowshipping with believers. The third way we can strengthen our relationship with Christ is through ministry. Touching others for Christ. Sharing your story. Praying for people. Doing acts of kindness. Serving in the church in a ministry. Doing ministry. Every believer, hear me now, every believer is designed for ministry. Every believer is gifted. Every believer can and should serve. Do ministry. So time alone with God and prayer and reading the Word, fellowship with other believers, ministry. These are ways we can strengthen our relationship with Christ. I want to challenge you as 2019 approaches. Don't make a resolution. Make a choice. Make a choice for all the time and the effort and the resources you invest into some form of human accomplishment. Invest at least twice as much in deepening your relationship with Christ and growing closer to Him. That's a choice that all of us need to make. Amen? Secondly, let's look at verse 12. Paul, in all honesty, says, "Not that I have already obtained all this, have already been made perfect or complete or mature," which is what that means, "but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Second type of choice we need to make, second contrast here, second principle is this: to choose purposefully moving forward over dwelling on the past. Choose purposefully moving forward over dwelling on the past. Paul talks here about his track record. He says, "I haven't made it yet." You know what? I find great comfort in that. Don't you? Such an esteemed saint as the Apostle Paul said, "You know, here's my goal. Here's what I desire. I'm not quite there yet." Does that give you hope today? That gives me hope. Because I can say with Paul, "I'm not quite there yet." Can anybody in all honesty say, "Hey, I'm not there yet. I'm not as close to Christ as I need to be. I'm not the finished product." There used to be a bumper sticker. I'm not a proponent of bumper sticker theology. Matter of fact, I preached a sermon several years ago, "Moving Beyond Bumper Sticker Christianity," which I think we need to do. But remember years ago that bumper sticker, and it had the initials of the phrase, "Please be patient with me, God's not finished with me yet." Can you relate to that? I know I can. Paul said, "I'm not the finished product, I'm not there." But he said, "This is what I do. I forget what's behind me, and I press on toward the goal." Forget and press on. Forget and press on. We can all look back. There are two types of things we need to forget. The first is this: we can all look back on some failures and shortcomings as Paul did. Maybe your past is one of failure or hardship. Maybe 2018 was not a banner year for you spiritually and your walk with God. Maybe you can look back on failures in terms of your personal life, in your moral life, in your relationships, in your ethics, in your discipline. Maybe you can look back over this past year and recent years and back over your life at difficulties, bad hands you've been dealt, things you have to overcome. Ben Carson grew up in poverty in inner city Detroit. He was raised along with his brother by his divorced mom. Some of you may be familiar with his story. He had poor grades in school, but his mom, not willing to surrender her son to a future of mediocrity, pushed him until he became an excellent student. He eventually received his MD from the University of Michigan Medical School and went on to become, at age 33, mind you, the director of pediatric neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins Hospital, the youngest major division director in Johns Hopkins history. In 1987, Carson became the first surgeon to successfully separate conjoined twins. He is a world-renowned leader in his field, and as you probably know, he's now the Secretary of the Department of Health, Education, and Human Services. The point is this: he didn't let a negative past determine his future, and you don't have to either. One of the most difficult positions to play in football is that of cornerback. I didn't say quarterback, although that can be difficult. Cornerback. You know what a cornerback does. Some of you aren't sports fans, so I'll tell you. Cornerback is one who has to defend the receivers. And he doesn't know where the receiver's going, but he has to run everywhere everywhere the receiver runs. And that's, you have to be very agile, you have to be very savvy, and a lot of times a receiver will fake a guy out and go for a touchdown and just embarrass him on the field. There was a cornerback in the NFL years ago. His nickname was Toast. They said because he got burned so often, you know. But every coach, every commentator will say one of the most important qualities to have if you play cornerback, any position, but cornerback, is a short memory. And what they mean by that is if you got burned, if you got embarrassed on the last play, if you dwell on it, if you think about it, if you focus on it, you're going to get burned on the next play. You got to put it out of your mind, and you got to say, man, I'm going to focus harder, I'm going to concentrate, and I'm going to make the play this time. You got to forget the past. Or maybe when you look back on life, you look back on another category of past experiences, the successes of your life. We like to be successful. We like to accomplish things. Thank God for them. But keep looking forward. Football coach Lou Holtz said this: if you're still excited about what you did yesterday, then you haven't done much today. Whether it's your past failures, your past successes, you need to forget them. You know what you can do about them? Absolutely nothing. No scientist, no philosopher has ever found a way to undo the past. We need to forget it and move on. Consider this: dwelling on your past, whether it's mostly good, mostly bad, or probably like most of us, somewhere in the middle. Dwelling on the past is like keeping your eyes on your rearview mirror while you're driving down the road for an extended period of time. I don't recommend that. It's like keeping your eyes on the rearview mirror and fixing your eyes on there. You'll see where you've been, but you're going to crash. You have a crash in your immediate future. No, we should view our past like we're taught to use our rearview mirror. A quick glance to see what's behind us, and then fix our attention on what's in front of us. Paul knew that despite his past, despite his shortcomings, despite his failures, he knew that God had an awesome destiny for him, and neither his past accomplishments nor his failures or hardships would keep him from realizing his God-given destiny. So he remained focused upon the future. And no matter what your past is today, whether good, whether bad, or somehow in the middle, God has a great destiny for you today, for 2019 and beyond that. And you and I need to forget about the past and we need to focus on the future. Lord, what do you have for me today? God is a God of the present. God is a God of the future. God is a God who moves things forward in our life. God wants to move you forward. If you've been stagnant, if you feel like you've been walking in the same place for a long period of time, I have news for you today. If you will let Him, God will move you into the awesome future that He has for you. What are some ways we can train ourselves to focus on the future? Let me suggest three also. First, set some goals for the future. Set some goals for 2019. Now, for some of us, that comes very naturally. For some of us, that's not something we like to do a lot. Whether you write them down, whether you have them in your mind, set some goals for the future. Goals that are realistic enough that you can achieve them, okay, but difficult enough that they require effort and will stretch you and grow you as a person. Set goals that are challenging enough to cause you to need the Lord and others to help you. Don't set goals that are too easy, but goals that will challenge you, will require the help of the Lord. Then develop a plan with practical steps to move you toward that goal. Secondly, try something new in 2019. Will you do that? I encourage you to do that. Try something new, something totally out of your comfort zone. Many times, in doing something new, in trying something, but what if I fail? So what? Try something new. Get out of your comfort zone. In so doing, you might just open up a whole new way to use your God-given gifts. And the third thing has to do with what I've already mentioned, failure. Don't be afraid of failure. Some of the greatest statesmen of history have had their greatest successes after their greatest failures. Some championship coaches have built dynasties on the ashes of their most stinging defeats. When you try new things, you will fail. You will come up short. But if you keep trying, you'll eventually succeed, and God will help you to reach your divinely ordained destiny. Forget the past. Whether you look fondly back on 2018, or whether you say 2018, good riddance. Forget it. Move on. Yes, occasionally a quick glance back, like that look in the rearview mirror, to learn a lesson, not repeat our failures. But our focus should be forward. Forward. God, what do you have for me this year? What do you have for me? Choose to purposefully move forward and not dwell on the past. What's the third principle here for choices we can make for the new year? It's this. It's found, let me read the scripture first. It's found in beginning verse 17. Paul says, "Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body." The third principle for making choices in the new year is to choose to focus on the eternal rather than the temporary. Choose to focus on the eternal rather than the temporary. In the latter part of Philippians 3, Paul draws a contrast between those whose entire focus is upon the things of this life and those who take the longer view, who live their lives with eternity in mind. He says of the former group, their mind is on earthly things. Now I know what you're thinking. Didn't know I could know what you're thinking, did you? But in regard to this, I know what you're thinking. What's wrong with having my mind on earthly things, Pastor Tim? I have mouths to feed, bills to pay, and other obligations to meet. You better believe my mind is on earthly things. There, did I nail it? I think I did. Okay. Let me say that, of course, God knows that. How many know God knows all things? He knows we have mouths to feed, bills to pay, and obligations to meet. He understands that and doesn't expect us to go just live in a monastery somewhere to think about heavenly things. Paul's not speaking against making a living or fulfilling our earthly obligations, but he is speaking against a mindset that says this to live as if this life is all that there is. And I think his point becomes clearer when we consider what he says next. In verse 20, Paul says that in contrast to those with an earthly mindset, he says, quote, "Our citizenship is in heaven," end quote. Now, some historical background is in order here. Rome, in Paul's day, settled communities of army veterans called into places called colonies as garrisons in conquered territory. Augustus extended this practice by giving full Roman citizenship not only to settlements of veterans, but to important provincial cities and to men who had distinguished themselves in public service. And these provincial communities held equal rights and privileges with the citizens of the city of Rome itself. So they would establish these garrisons or these provincial cities throughout the empire and give them the rights that those who lived in Rome proper had. This policy proved extremely successful. And in AD 12, the emperor Caracalla was able to issue a decree admitting all of his subjects to Roman citizenship. During the New Testament times, the city of Philippi, where Paul established a church and to whom this epistle is written, was a Roman colony. So they were residents, you need to understand this, they were residents of the city of Philippi, but they were citizens of Rome. Just as immigrants in our country still have an affinity often for things from their native land. Paul's point is that life on this earth is not the be-all and end-all of our existence. However long any of us live on this planet, this garrison, this provincial city, if you will, it's a short time compared to all eternity. And as I remind mourners at every funeral service I preach, our time here is temporary. As the children of the Most High God, church, hear me this morning. We may live here. This may be our temporary dwelling place, but we are citizens of another land. We are citizens of another country. And that being the case, shouldn't our mindset reflect the importance of the eternal instead of the temporary? I believe it should. I believe that while we see to the obligations of this life, the focus of our lives needs to be on eternal things. You all know Brother Dave and Linda have their MAPS ministry. They go on missions trips twice a year. How many have been on their missions trips? Several of you. I may shock you and go one year. I know that would totally kill over, but I may do that. I said May, so don't ask me next time, are you going on this one? But I love what they do. They have a HVAC business, you know that? You need your air conditioner, your heater fixed, they're the ones to go to. How's that? Free advertising. They're credentialed ministers of the Assemblies of God. They make their living, they have a very successful business. But I think I can speak freely, Dave and Linda, say you tend to that business, but your focus is on missions. They lead our MAPS ministry for our whole Potomac ministry network of over 300 churches. They lead that ministry. And they go on trips. Some of you have been on the trips, and they raise funds for the trips. We help out a little bit. We give them a little offering toward that to each trip every year. And they have yard sales and fund it, but they fund the large part of that themselves. I don't know if you know that. Why would anyone do that? When they can be, when they're successful and comfortable. Because their minds are on earthly, on heavenly things, excuse me. Why do some of you give up vacation weeks and go on those trips? Because your mind is on heavenly things. Now, not everyone can go on a trip. Not everyone can do that. But we can all have a mindset that focuses more on the eternal rather than the temporary. How can we develop that kind of mindset? Again, I'm going to suggest to you three ways. First way we develop a mindset that focuses on the eternal rather than the temporary is this. Let's not take ourselves so seriously. You thought I was going to say something much more profound than that. I know you did. This is so important. And I'm telling this to myself because I need to hear this. I need to be, the Lord reminds me. The Lord reminded me that I need to be reminded of this, if that makes sense. Let's not take ourselves so seriously. So often, we get bent out of shape. Come on, let's just be real here for a minute. We get bent out of shape over some perceived slight or some injustice. And then when we have that small moment of sanity, we realize, hey, you know, it wasn't really that big a deal. We don't always have to have our own way. Let's learn to laugh at ourselves. Can we do that? You know, some of you do that so easily. I envy you. We all need to, if you're that way, we all need to be like you. We take ourselves too seriously. We need to laugh. We need to, someone didn't speak to you or didn't speak to you the right way or didn't do this or said something that can be taken 10 different ways and you know, there's 9 good ways to take it, but boy, you're going to focus on that one bad way. I think they meant this. Come on, we've all done it. We take ourselves so serious and we get so worked up. Shrug it off. Jesus had spikes nailed through his hands and feet. And we melt down over some perceived little slight. Learn to laugh it off. Learn to shrug it off. Come on. We have more important things to focus on. Second way is to determine to invest your time in things that matter. I mentioned missions trips. That's one great way. But there are many other ways. It's a cliche, but I'm going to say it anyway. Make a difference. Do something good. The gospel says about Jesus, he went about doing good. Not thinking good thoughts. We want credit for thinking good thoughts. I want you all to know I'm thinking very good thoughts about you right now. You feeling them? Probably not. Because good thoughts don't count for much. Do good. Make a difference. Serve somebody. Help somebody. Come alongside somebody. Support somebody. Do good. The scripture also says if you have an opportunity to do good, do good. Invest your time in things that matter. People matter. The things of God matter. Souls for eternity matter. Somebody once said, I don't want to spend my life climbing the ladder of success only to find out that it's leaning against the wrong wall. Third and most important way you can focus on the eternal. Always remember that God loves you and has an eternal home for all those who belong to Him. A home free from sickness, conflict, worry, and pain. Isn't that awesome? Church, that's not a fairy tale. That's not a, you know, pie in the sky by and by type of thing. That's reality. The scripture says Jesus Christ is coming for all that are His, and He's going to take us to live forever in eternity with Him. Hallelujah. Keep that in mind. You know how long eternity is? It's a long time. Like we sing in Amazing Grace, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing His praise than when we first began. We're just getting started. 10 million years. 10 billion years. Just getting started. So what is 70, 80, 90, even 100 years on this earth compared to that? You better believe we better be eternity-minded. Let me summarize today by going over the principles I've mentioned. As I said at the outset, the choices you and I make, some may not seem so significant, but cumulatively, they make a difference in the direction of our lives. What are the three principles? First, choose to focus on building a strong relationship with Christ over and above any human accomplishment. Secondly, choose purposefully moving forward in life over dwelling on the past, whether good or bad. And thirdly, choose to focus on the eternal, on things that matter, rather than on the temporary things.